Hello, and welcome to the Aparo Effect, a podcast that is all about nonprofits, how they serve, and how they can serve more effectively, building their capacity to serve. My name is Kim Lanfear, and I am Aparo's Chief Executive Officer. And I am pleased to be here today with Raja Musunuru, who I will let introduce himself, to talk more about how we improve the capacity of nonprofits. Raja, introduce yourself.
Kim, it's a pleasure to talk to you. So I'm Raja Musnuru. I'm the Chief Product Officer for the Tiffin Group Inc. We're a fintech that uses AI and investment know-how to provide better wealth outcomes for the mass and mass affluent. And my
Thank you.
engagement, as you know, Kim, has been with you for the last 10 years. It's been amazing the work you and your team does in the community. I'm happy to talk more about that, my experience through that program.
Thank you so much. Raja is a tech leader here in our community, and he has also been a skilled volunteer for us, and he has brought members of his team to engage with Aparo in our skilled volunteer work with other nonprofits. So I'll start a little bit just in case you don't know who Aparo is, those of you who are listening. We are a nonprofit that serves other nonprofits, and we do that by engaging skilled volunteers as well as skills from within the Aparo staff to elevate the efficiencies of nonprofits. And we do that through skills related to technology. A lot of the work is in the business processes that relate to the technology nonprofits use and businesses use to conduct their mission work. And so that's what we do. And so I want to take a moment. I want to ask, because I've known Raja, as he said, for 10 years, and he has a very interesting career path. So I think it might be interesting to talk about your career path. You're at Tiflin now, which sounds like a very interesting company. So I'm going to ask you a two-part question. Give us a little more information about what Tiflin does and where it does it. Does it just Charlotte market? Is it national? Is it international? And who it does it with? And then just a little bit about your journey to where you've come to today, to be a tech leader here in the greater Charlotte market.
Yeah, my pleasure. So Tiffin is actually TIFIN, stands for
Oh.
Technology Investment Intelligence for Financial Services. Think of us as essentially a business platform that incubates ideas to and brings products to market at a rapid scale. So we have been able to do that over the last 5 years of our existence. We've got almost 10 different products and businesses we have taken to market at various stages. Some have grown up and left home. Some are teenagers. Some are toddlers, right? So that's kind of the idea behind the model. Within Tiffin, we focus on really our core competency, which is AI, applying AI to a specific set of business problems, particularly in wealth management. So that's the only thing we do, right? So we're not an accelerator program. All of this is ideas incubated with in-house staff. We do that at a rapid scale and speed. So for the whole driver for us is delivering impact at speed. So we do that again by bringing our unique expertise to do that. I actually started with Tiffin about 2 years ago by way of an acquisition Tiffin made. Tiffin was a client of ours, one of the products, a fintech startup called Amicus.io that was actually founded here down the street at Packard Place. And that's how we became part of Tiffin. Prior to the startup and fintech world, to Kim's point, I've kind of have done a bunch of different things across many industries, but all around understanding customer friction point and solving for those friction points and business problems through technology. Whether the technology is AI these days, was analytics, e-commerce, general software development, that's kind of 2+ decades of my experiences kind of goes back to that, being able to understand that customer business growth oriented problems across industries and solving for those with technology. For the last 10 years, I've been in Charlotte, as Kim mentioned, kind of being really a part of this community here. engaging with other tech leaders from the community to create impact, not just in our jobs, but in the communities that we live and work.
Yeah, and one of the things I wanted to ask you, as you've done this technology work, have you always done it within the technology silos of the companies you've worked with, or have you done it in other department areas?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. It's always been a mix. Some pure tech, depending on the industry. Some were more business functions, roles as well, but always with a mix of tech, right? Whether it's kind of, whether it's a field services company driving service efficiencies and automation with tech, or a hospitality company building their digital capabilities for the first time around e-commerce, or at Sony Pictures, more of an analytics to understand the retail distribution and digital streaming effectiveness, right? So it kind of varied from industry to industry, use case to use case.
So those of you who are listening to the APARA Effect here today, who are nonprofits, might feel really intimidated by that technological and business background. And you might think, wow, that's the kind of volunteer you bring in. And I'm terrified of that. And yes, that is the kind of volunteer we bring. You couldn't get a better volunteer than Raja and the other people from his teams that he brings in. So I want to talk a little bit about how, as a volunteer, you lean into, as a skilled volunteer, how you lean into making the technology be approachable for nonprofits who have no technological skills or knowledge, and how you try to make it less fearful when you're engaged as a skilled volunteer.
Yeah, great question. To your point, I think some of the skills that we take for granted can be intimidating for nonprofits, right? Or any mission-focused organization that has limited budget, limited staff, where their core mission is their core competency. Everything else is either they don't have the time to think about or the resources to deploy against those. So that can be a challenging. So what we tend to do when we engage on the skill engagement projects is to demystify that, really focus on what the mission of that organization is, what's standing in the way of them executing on that mission effectively, at scale, more efficiently. And then from there, really then weave in what technology components can actually streamline that for them, make it a better cost structure, or to scale, right? So that's the emphasis. We don't talk tech at all when we go talk to these organizations. We want to really kind of embed ourselves, understand the operation inside out, hear their experiences, both from the front line to the stakeholders that they're serving, all the way up to the back office, identify where the pain points exist and see where technology in a non-invasive way can simplify and streamline things so that they can spend their precious time towards executing on that mission.
Yeah, I think you said something there that's really important, and I'm going to expound upon it some. So APARA's mission is around technology enablement. But I find that when I'm giving my little elevator speech in the elevator, as soon as the word technology comes out of my mouth, the eyes glaze over and like, oh, I don't want to go into that. Yeah. I don't want to think about that. I'm really, and whether it's a nonprofit or whether it's a skilled volunteer, the glaze over is like, oh, I really want to talk about the puppies. I want to talk about the children in need. I want to talk about the domestic violence, but I don't want to talk about this technology thing. And so one of the things we try to do, and you just did a really good job of, I think, is talk about how it is technology, but you can't get lost in that word because it's really process is what we do a lot of, right? Yeah. It's everything we do in any kind of business world, whether it's nonprofit or for-profit, is related to technology. If it's fundraising, if it's this podcast we're having right now, if it's a video chat we're having, if it's an email, it all has relationship to a technology platform, or it could. And so it's the process that many of these nonprofits, most of the time, we're leading into. How do you more effectively use that tool? How do you, what are some things inside that tool that you may not know it can do? Here's how we can make it more effective. Here's the process that you do to deliver more effectively. Have you seen that? You said it, but I just want to confirm that I'm not.
No, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. It's more of that. How could technology set them up for success, right? But it's really the conversation never begins with technology. It's all about what's their ambition, where are they today, and how technology in the background can elevate their game to achieve their goals, really. So that's the lens with which we approach, and we don't talk technology until the very end when we are making a recommendation for specific things that they should implement or change, right? Until then, it's all about their stakeholder experience, their frontline team experience, their objectives for what success looks like, right? So it's all about that and what's standing in the way and how can we eliminate that.
In the instances where you have brought along some other team members with you into a skill volunteer engagement, through Aparo into nonprofits. What are some of the things that you've encountered that were surprising as a team of multiple people in that environment? Or maybe, you know, were not surprising? What were some things that your partners came along for or expected or didn't expect?
Yeah. So that's a great question. It's actually, when we do these engagements, the perception is that we are helping the nonprofit. While that is true on one end, the other end is actually, I felt like we were helping ourselves and our team. What I mean by that is when we put together a cross-functional team of team members from our team, whether it's product people, business analyst, project manager, infrastructure person, CRM expert, whoever it may be, the skills they bring to the table, when we bring that team and give them this volunteer project as an opportunity outside of work to actually accomplish something together as a team, it actually serves as a very effective team building and team growth project as well. And I was actually certainly not looking for that when I initially started doing this. But after doing that for a couple of times, so I realized that how the team camaraderie changed after these engagements, how closely they became invested, not just in that nonprofit's cause, but each other, right? I think that was a lesson learned for me as well. There is actually a lot of meaningful growth that happens for us all as human beings, right? Seeing the impact that we're able to create, right, in that engagement. The second is when we put people, this is a low risk engagement in a sense, right? People that have aspirations, career growth wise, that are maybe an analyst that want to become a project manager, we put them as a project manager with somebody mentoring them behind the scenes. There is a growth opportunity for that person to, in a low risk way, to exercise that skill, get feedback from their colleagues and improve, right? So I think it was as much of a learning and growth for our team and coming together as much as helping the community. So I think that was probably the biggest lesson learned for me and for our group as we did a few of these.
I love that. I think you just gave us a really good soundbite there, Raja. I think that was really good. I think one of the things Aparo does is it curates and finds these opportunities. So it makes it very easy, I think, for skilled volunteers to lean in and step in. And Aparo stays engaged the whole way. So we are not a project manager, though we can be. We're a facilitator and a translator. So sometimes I think I don't like to refer to nonprofits as nonprofits, but it's the easiest way to refer to them because I think they are more mission-focused organizations because we all know nonprofits have to make profits. So as an organization, they are just like a business. They have to make profits because they've got to pay their staff. Yeah. They've got to invest. They've got to have technology, all those things. But they're very small. and they're very innovative. So a lot like what you've been working with, actually, what Tiffin has been working with entrepreneurial organizations. I mean, nonprofits, I find, are a lot like that. And it's really great when people with the skills from an enterprise level or a nimble level organization can come in. And when you say low risk, I want to kind of define that too a little further, because when you're in a fast-paced enterprise level company and you're making decisions that are really intricate, maybe a lot of bureaucracy around them because you're a larger company and there are a lot of people and a lot of resources coming to bear, it's a very different environment than when you're in a mission-driven organization and there aren't all those resources. So that's where the low risk comes in. It's much more an open game board. It doesn't have all the pieces on it yet. So you can really shape and learn while you're in that environment and still make a really big impact.
Absolutely. And it's more immediate, right? It's a small team you're working with. You know what is working, what's not, very quickly, right? So that's what I meant by low risk as well. To your point, Kim, earlier, as I think about Apollo, really what you're doing with these skilled volunteer engagements by bringing the subject matter experts from the local businesses to support the nonprofits is really, you're essentially a matchmaking service, right? You know what kind of needs exist with the nonprofits. You actually have a pretty good handle on what skills are available, right? And how to match the two, right? So I don't know how you and your team does it, but I have not seen this model anywhere else. And kudos to you and your team for actually building and actually operating at a scale, like just watching how you guys actually amplified that over the last 10 years. It's amazing.
Well, thank you very much. I think we were just doing some work internally about what our core values are. And one of them is very relationship centered. So we spend a lot of time building trust, building understanding of integrity and relationships with both the corporate side and the nonprofit side. So we like to sit right in that middle and have relationships on both sides. So that's definitely what we do. Last question for you about the skill volunteer experience. How do the individual team members, do they ever come to the situation saying, "Ugh, I'm doing so much work. I can't possibly do this." And if so, how does that manifest when they actually get involved, or maybe they don't in those situations?
Yeah. So the way we have handled that in the past was that we give them some comp time to work on this, right? So this doesn't become another thing that they have to work with. Even if whatever little hesitation somebody might have, the moment they actually go meet the nonprofit team, they get so invested in the mission because these tend to be so touching, right? Each of them are trying to do impact somebody's lives in the local community. It's nearby, close to home. It's immediate. You can see that in action. Once people see that, that conversation doesn't even come up, right? I'll do whatever it takes to get this done, right? So whatever little hesitation somebody might have, that goes away quickly.
Do you find that this is a tool that is, the skilled volunteering is a tool for talent retention or talent acquisition, or is it really more the professional development?
It's both, actually. So the engagement as a team changes quite a bit, right? So the employee engagement improves quite a bit, but also professional growth that I touched on earlier. It helps on both fronts.
Thank you so much. This has been a really fun conversation, as I knew it would be, because you do such interesting work and you engage so wholeheartedly in the community with your skills and your heart. So I thank you for being here today, for sharing your experiences and giving us a little shout out testimony about how we play a role in that. And I couldn't thank you more for being here today with us, Raja.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. Thank you both.
Yeah. And thank you for joining us on the Aparo Effect, a podcast for nonprofits.